Grace and peace to you from God, our Father in heaven, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So we have all heard this parable many times in our lives, I'm sure. And we're quick to identify that. I think that we identify more with the weeds in this story than anything else. Because we are the righteous, or so we think we are, and we want to point out all the evil in the world, all the bad people. In fact, we continue to want to judge people, and it's not our job. The truth of this story, of this parable, is that the weeds and the wheat coexist. There is good and evil in our world, and that's just the way it is. We coexist. And if we're honest with ourselves, then we would freely admit that there is good and evil in each one of us. So this story, this parable, not only applies to the world as we see it, but it has meaning for us as individuals. Are y'all with me? We have so many choices, so many obligations, so many demands on our time that it is very easy for us to become overwhelmed and burdened with all of that. So what do we do? We do the one thing that we can do. Rely on our faith to guide us, to pray and discern what God's will for our lives are in the midst of all this ambiguity. It is our faith that needs to continue to guide us in all of that. For you see, God's promise to us is not that we will be justified by our decision making. It's not about us. It's all about God. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2:8, and this is one of the verses that is at the foundation of the tenet of faithfulness in our church and righteousness. And it says this, For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God. So you see, even our faith is a gift from God. It's simply not about us. We don't choose God. It's God who chooses us and instills in each and every one of us this gift of faith, a gift of grace. And we simply receive that gift. And just like on Christmas morning, opening the gift up, and we are filled with joy, and our lives are changed, our hearts are changed, and all that we can do is to respond in love, no matter what anyone else does. We realize what it is that God has done for us in sacrificing His own Son, that we are forgiven. Time and time again, we are forgiven. And we know the promise that God gives to us, that we have eternal life, another gift from God to us. We do nothing to earn or deserve it. That gift is what we look forward to. I think about the question that the slaves asked the master. To me, it's really funny because it's like, didn't you buy good seed and have us sow it in the ground? Can you imagine the farmer responding, yeah, I bought bad seed just to see how you all would react to it, right? No. The farmer does not sow bad seed. God created each and every one of us, and God said what? It is good. We're the ones that mess it up, right? In our own humanity. Because good and evil exist in our world. And those choices are presented to us. And if you've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. But we're left with these choices. And the slaves asked the master, well, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to pull up all the weeds? Do you hear that? Do you hear God saying to you, what do you want me to do? Be perfect? Do you want me to get rid of all the evil in my life? First of all, we can't do that, right? And the farmer says, God says, no. Leave that to the end of the age. Leave it to the harvest, the end of the age. And when is that? When is the end of the age? So I like some of those answers. We don't know, right? We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know that when it happens, it's Christ returning again as he promised. And God will take care of it. We don't cause that. We don't judge people. That's not our task. You've heard me say that many times before. We're not, if there is a committee, we're not on the committee. God's the one in charge of judgment, not us. Our task is simply to love all people. Love even our enemies, which is often an impossible task, is it not? But that's what we're called to do. And we fall short. But praise God for what God has done, because we can be forgiven. And we can try again without fear of failure. And even sometimes knowing that, you know, I'm going to make this effort, and I'm not very confident that I'm going to succeed, but I'm going to try, right? And we can do that because God has freed us from sin and slavery to sin. We are to act, to bear fruit, to serve our neighbors, to build relationships with other people, to establish that relationship with our God and to establish our relationship with others. Did you see what I did there? Yeah. We have that vertical relationship with God and that horizontal relationship with one another, which makes that symbol of the cross where we remember what God did for us and the promises that we have. So we encounter all kinds of choices in our lives, and probably many choices within a day at times. What do we do? Do we punt? We try, right? How often have you heard people who have faced certain dilemmas in their life new parents. Maybe not just new parents, but some parents have to make a choice between going to work and supporting the family or staying at home and nurturing the family. What about people who have serious illnesses and have to make a choice between this treatment or that treatment? They're all dilemmas. What about the option of continuing to work or make a choice to retire? They're not always easy decisions, and they aren't necessarily made hastily. But if we pray and we discern, we ask God to guide us, the answer to those, generally we know what's right for our particular situations. Knowing full well that maybe both choices are bad, right? But we're called to do something rather than nothing. The reality is we don't live in an ideal world. We don't live in a world that functions the way God intended it to function. But there will be a day of harvest, a day when our Lord returns. And we know from Scripture, from Revelation, that God promises that all things will be made new. All things. All people. All things. What happens in this parable to the evil? Gets burned up, right? So, what does that mean for us? Because, like I said at the beginning, if we're honest, there's good and evil in us, right? And there's good and evil in our world. God says what? I will make all things new. At the time of the harvest, the evil that's in us, the evil that's in the world, will somehow be separated from the good, and it'll be cast aside. Revelation paints a picture of all evil being cast into a lake of fire and burned up. Evil will be no more. We will be new beings. What that is, I don't know. But the world and all of us will be as God originally intended it to be. And what a glorious day that will be. But in the meantime, we've got work to do. We're to be examples of what the kingdom of God is going to be like, and do our best to go to the best of our ability to prove that to the world. As Christians, we're to be different from the world. You guys are supposed to look different. You've got these little halos above your heads and wings on your backs. Right? That's how people really, in a way, are to see you. They're to see you as different. And that's one of the choices that we have to make. We have to choose to be representatives of the kingdom of God. And actually, it's really not a choice that we make, because God has changed us. God has changed our hearts, and we can't help but be those representatives of the kingdom of God in the world. Do we always get it right? We don't, do we? And that's one of the reasons that we come to this place on a Sunday, either however you look at it, whether it's the end of the week or the start of the week, right? But we come here to worship our God, to give thanks to God for what God has done for us, to hear God's word proclaimed to us, and to celebrate this meal that is the ultimate sign and symbol for confession and forgiveness for us. Because we come oftentimes as broken people. I don't know what your week was like. You don't often share it with me. But I know that if it's anything like mine, there was good and bad in that week. So we come to this place to be refreshed, to be with one another, to be with fellow Christians who are striving to do the same thing and failing. So I have a challenge for you. Think about these words, because a lot of you say them. I say them too. When you see someone that you know, often what you will say to them is, "How are you doing?" The next time you ask that question, if you don't already mean it, I want you to mean it. And for me, what that means is to stop and to truly listen. Make yourself available. Deepen your relationships with one another. It's important. It's important to the kingdom of God. We need to share our ups and our downs, our highs and our lows, and be there for one another, to check in on one another. If there's nothing more that we learned from the pandemic, it should be that we need to check in with one another. Y'all with me? So that's a heavy task. It really is. It may seem like a little thing, but it's pretty heavy. Because it means we have to change. We have to truly put others before ourselves. And we have to be willing to be vulnerable and to actually care for one another. So my prayer for us is that we would be a community of faith where we are able to join with others and acknowledge that life is hard and that we struggle and that sometimes we make wrong choices, and to let one another know that we need one another, that we need good ears. We need people who will not only say, "I'll pray for you," but actually act on that. And may we always support one another in all that's going in our lives. May we continue to deepen our relationships and truly get to know one another. As you leave this place today, don't be in a hurry. I'm almost certain that there's someone in this space that you don't know, or that you don't know very well. Ask them that question. How are you doing? Amen.